Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show. Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I am your host, Bruce Marable, CEO and co-founder of Employee Cycle. You know me, I'm the guy that's always talking to you about why you need to use your data to make smarter decisions. And our company is an HR dashboard that brings all your HR data together from all your systems like Greenhouse, namely Zenefits, Bamboo HR, ADP, all those places into one great user-friendly dashboard. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today I have a very special guest. It's Farron Neuhauser, Head of Growth at Praisely. And our topic today is pretty interesting and unique. We're going to talk about how and why companies should provide employees gifts. I know I'm not an employee, but I love gifts. So I'm very excited to talk about this. So please help me welcome Farron to the podcast. Woo! Farron, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Bruce. I'm happy to be here.
So the first question that we always like to ask is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR? I know your company isn't specifically an HR company. So I'm going to ask, how did you end up in this role where you're providing an HR related experience? And it's also great because you also had HR experience in the background.
Yes. So that's exactly right. I actually got my HR experience starting out with companies like Zenefits and GoCo. So two HRIS companies that I contributed to within their sales. And I came on to Praisely as our head of growth because I saw the value in employee recognition and employee gifting and what that could do to help companies accomplish their goals in terms of employee retention in every part of the employee life cycle.
Can you please give the audience an overview of what Praisely does and why HR people should care about it?
Yes. So Praisely is the first platform where employers can gift their employees with personalized gifts and do it at scale at the exact same time. So we found that 85% of companies in the U.S. are actually sending business gifts, and that makes gifting a $120 billion industry. But what we found that was super interesting is that actually none of these companies have a way to send lots of personalized gifts at once. So if you're sending a gift, you're doing it with a specific purpose. There is a strategy to gifting. You're doing it because you want to enhance a relationship. You want to build a connection. But by not being able to personalize the gifts, it's actually counteracting that goal. So Praisely exists to give companies the resources to where they can send tons of personalized gifts at once to help them with their relationship goals, no matter what those goals may be with their employees or their clients or their partners, investors, and so on. And it's available for any company to be able to use AI and algorithms that will match an employee's interests up to the perfect gift for them and do it instantly.
Got it. And that's pretty cool. So now let's dig into the topic of how and why companies should provide employee gifts. And let's start off with, I think, is the most obvious question, which is, why should companies give employees gifts in the first place?
So it's a very good question, because as we spoke about a moment ago, a lot of companies are doing it, but not all have a specific goal in mind. Not all are sure exactly why they're doing it. So the reason why companies should give gifts is because they have a specific goal in mind. They want to stand out from other employers that are competing to hire the talent that they want. So there are different points in the employee life cycle where these goals take place, from recruiting, through onboarding, through employee retention, through just becoming a partner in that employee's life. At each point in the employee life cycle, there's a goal that you want to accomplish with that employee. And so by applying gifting strategically, it helps you advance your connections with your employees so that you can achieve those certain goals. So the main reason why you want to send gifts is because you want to build personalized connections, and the gifts can actually help you to build physical value in a world that is really full of digital noise right now.
By providing an employee or a prospective candidate a gift, whether it's in the recruiting process, the onboarding process, or the retention process for existing employees, are you sending and leveraging the wrong incentives for why a company should start working with you or should continue to work with you?
I think what you're showing when you're sending a gift in the employee acquisition process, so when you're recruiting, is that you're denoting a level of seriousness about extending an offer to them. You're showing them that you want to stand out from other offers that they may be considering, to preview that you have a commitment to creating value for this employee.
So let's break this up into three different sections. Let's first talk about the stages of gifting. Let's then go into what kind of gifts should you and should you not provide to employees. And then let's talk about what kind of ROI are you getting from gifting, and what HR and workforce drivers are you looking to increase or decrease in impact overall based off of gifting. Does that work?
Yep, sounds great.
All right, so first thing, the stages of gifting. At what inflection points and what parts of the full employee life cycle are you looking to provide gifts?
So there are several where you can provide gifts. The first, I would say, is the recruiting process. So when you're looking to acquire new talent, another that's very popular is onboarding. And onboarding gifts, they're very powerful. They actually communicate the first impression that you want your employees to have. And I actually have a little story about how I received my onboarding gift when I joined Praisely. I actually had several offers that were before me, and it was a very hard choice for me to make. I really wasn't sure which team I wanted to join. Everybody was a very strong contender. All of the people seemed great. Joining a team, people are the most important consideration to me, who I'm going to be working with. What kind of, value they add to the company and how they want to use the value that I can add to the company. And so when I first arrived in San Francisco to meet the Praisely team, there was a little Praisely gift at my desk, and I opened it up. It was personalized to me, and right on the inside flap of the box, it had a message, and it said, "Thank you for choosing Praisely," and it was signed by our co-founders, Blanca and Alex. And there was, alongside that, a personalized note that was handwritten out to me on the inside, along with all of the different items that were in the box. And so that really communicated to me that I had made the right choice. And it showed me that it was important to our co-founders, that the decision was very important to me. So that was something that really communicated a lot of value to me right away. When on the first day of my new job, which is, a very momentous impression that you get. So the next stage that I think that people can use for employee gifting is the recognition stage. So these are employees who are already in the company. Maybe they're a part of your sales team, your client success team. There's some kind of incentive for performance that you want to give them. And a lot of companies are already doing this in many different forms, whether they're using gifting outright or whether they're using experiences. A lot of companies in their sales organizations will put together something like a President's Club, and they'll send employees to locations like to Vegas or Hawaii. They'll send their top performers out to really fun trips. And so gifting at that stage, it provides another incentive. It provides something that feels more attainable, because oftentimes when people are using these employee recognition incentives, they're often only gifting the very, very top tier with that high incentive if they're sending their sales team on a trip, for example. So to make the reward more accessible and to open it up to more people, to encourage more of the sales force to give that example, gifting in a physical sense is a great way to keep more people included and to keep them excited. And so The final category that I would name here is to create a partnership with employees. You want to become an integral part of the lives of the employees that you want to keep long term. You don't want to just feel to them like you're their 9-to-5 job. When this employee gets married, buys a new house, has a new baby, has a birthday, those are things that as their employer, you should notice. And when you recognize that, when you become a part of that employee's life, it becomes meaningful to them, and you become more than just a job to them. You become a partner in their life that is an integral part of their career development that they take seriously and that they want to remain a part of.
Got it. And that was great. So I always try to speak on behalf of the audience and think of questions that they would have about this. So the first thing that I would think an HR person listening to this would want to ask you is, this sounds great, and I'm totally on board with this, but it also sounds expensive. And let's start with the first stage of recruiting. So at what point are we actually sending gifts? Because if I'm a high volume recruiter or a high volume recruiting business, or if I am just interviewing a lot of candidates for specific roles, because they may be hard to find roles, like a very specific type of data scientist or whatever hard to find role a company may have, at what point am I sending a gift in the recruiting process where I can actually manage this cost? Because candidate acquisition costs is always top of mind for recruiters and HR, since that's one of the most expensive parts of HR. So how do you manage that while also providing gifts to candidates?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So there are two types of recruiting that we can talk about here. The first is when you have your own internal recruiters, they may be gifting their top choice candidates to show them that they're very serious about extending an offer. And then we also have recruiting companies where the recruiter is somebody who builds a long-term relationship with the person that they're recruiting. And so what they want to do is become that point of contact that this person goes back to over and over again each time that they want to advance in their career. And so for that second use case where you're working with a recruiting company, the gifting becomes even more so valuable because you want to communicate to this candidate that they should remain with you long term. They should trust you. They should go back to you when you need to advance your career again and need a new recommendation. And I think that in terms of cost, the interesting thing is that companies are already doing this. They're already spending on it. It's actually more expensive to do it without personalization because then you're just taking shots in the dark. What Praisely does is we created AI that extracts data points on the interests of a particular person. So when you enter somebody's email address or import a list of contacts from your CRM using their emails, it applies social profiling with AI and tells you this person likes coffee, this person likes cooking or fitness. It builds out a full profile instantly of all of their interests. And then from there, an algorithm matches those interests to the perfect gift. So in the former case where you're just taking a shot in the dark and sending out a gift, just a gift, and hope that it builds a relationship, you don't have a lot of data points on the person. And in that case, you may or may not really strike a note with them. Where in the second case, when you're sending something that's personalized, that's matched to their interests, you're more likely to actually build a relationship and build a connection with them that's going to advance your goal. So what we find is that it's actually much more expensive to do gifting the traditional way than to do it in a very personalized way that's targeted towards building a relationship.
Got it. And then on the retention side of gifting, is it better to just give an employee more money? Why would someone appreciate a gift more than getting a raise or maybe a spot bonus?
So that's a great question, and I'm all for raises and bonuses. I think it's very important that employees are appropriately compensated for the work that they do. I would advocate for still doing that. Companies will set a budget for their gifts and often do it in addition to something like that. So for example, if you're sending something like, you know, a $50, $100 gift, there's, you know, no reason not to accompany a raise or a bonus with something of that nature. You set the budget as a company that makes the most sense for you, that makes the most sense to send alongside that. And what that does is it communicates a tangible physical value. It's especially valuable when you have remote employees. So we live, like I said, in a very digital age. A lot of companies these days are run on remote workforces where they either have full or partial remote workforces. And one of the challenges in doing that is that there isn't a whole lot of tangible value to it. You know, every day you're communicating via email, everything is over conference call, you're not meeting with people face to face. So when you create this tangible experience, it actually can bring your remote workforce closer together. And so that's one really good application of gifting, and it's a really good use case to also show remote employees that they're more than just getting a raise. They mean something to the company where they're not replaceable by other remote employees that are out there.
Got it. And that's all really compelling reasons to gift. But again, me being on the HR and people ops leader side and trying to summon their thoughts while they're listening to this, I'm also curious about how does this work when you might not be getting the best buy-in from your stakeholders, your CFO, your CEO? I mean, how do you get them to believe that gifting makes sense?
I think that's a good question. I think that everybody can relate to the experience of receiving a gift. So we've all received really great gifts and we've all received really bad gifts. And I think that sometimes when you're one of those people who doesn't really see the immediate value of gifting, it's because you've had the worst end of that experience where you've received a lot of very generic gifts, just a lot of, you know, branded marketing items as opposed to receiving personalized gifts, or you've received gifts that didn't really resonate with you. You know, somebody just sends you that bottle of wine over and over again. And when somebody's having that receiving, you know what I mean, right? We've all been there. We can all relate to that receiving experience. And so I think one of the most powerful things that these people can try, you know, to convert the non-believers, so to speak, is to put them on the end of both the receiving and the giving experience, to have them receive a personalized gift and note how it makes them feel. You really do feel so much more connected to the sender when you receive, you know, a tangible personalized gift with a handwritten note on the inside that speaks to you as a person and says, I know that these are your interests and these are the things that we understand about you. We took the time to care what you care about and we want to communicate that to you. And then on the other side, on the giving end, it's also a really great experience to try it out as a sender, to generate a personalized handwritten note and to send out a personalized gift to somebody who you want to build a connection with and then see their response. I think that that's really the best way to communicate that value to people who don't immediately get it, is to just experience it on both ends as a receiver and as a sender.
Got it. And your comments about receiving good and bad gifts was a great transition for us to now go into what types of gifts are we talking about here? And how personalized are they? I mean, I know the AI that you have in regards to figuring out what types of gifts people like is creepy, but also great. So what type of gifts and how personalized are we talking?
That's an important point that you bring up, because we definitely don't want the gifts to feel creepy in any way. And so that's a very important distinction that we make with our AI. That's why we build out a profile of interests, whereas we don't want to build out a profile of traits. We don't want to gift based on what a person is like. We want to gift based on what a person does like. And so by making that distinction, we can remove any factor that might make it a little bit creepy, if that makes sense. So for example, like I mentioned before, if the person likes coffee or fitness or cooking or technology, we can match gifts using our algorithm to those interests because we know that those are things that people like to engage in. And then we can match specific items that match those categories. And we find that that actually works a lot better and creates a connection as opposed to trying to take a stab at the character traits of a person and match a gift to that. That was really something that we found just didn't work.
Got it. And what types of gifts specifically are we talking about giving employees?
So great question. I can give some examples. So for example, if you're somebody who really has a cooking interest, we might send some curated kits of ingredients. You might receive a kit of a variety of different spices. You can actually use that and apply them. There's really a focus on the usefulness of the items and for the items to be very exciting, something new that you maybe wouldn't ordinarily pick out for yourself, something that you're very excited to use. If you're a coffee lover, there might be a really nice designer coffee mug that you just want to use in the office every day. It can really be as simple as that.
Okay. And are there any types of gifts that may be inappropriate based off of gender, age, diversity, ethnicity? I mean, companies are getting sued left and right. Sexual harassment, discrimination, bias. How, I'm sure there are some HR and people leaders out there listening saying, we don't want to give the damn thing to our employees because we don't want anyone to say, well, they gave me this because they viewed me as this type of person or gender or ethnicity or whatever, all the variables of, you know, us as people. So how do you give these gifts without crossing the line? And are there any areas that companies should be aware of where they should know that they're starting to teeter the line of inappropriate gifting?
Yeah, I think that's where it's helpful to have some guidance. There certainly are gifts that are inappropriate. And in fact, a lot of companies are sending those the most. So one that we mentioned, for example, is when you have that company that just resorts to always sending that bottle of wine. You know, alcohol is not always the best gift for everybody for a variety of reasons, but in many cases, people just resort to always sending it. Or they'll send clothing items where you have to guess at people's sizes, and that's very hard to do. So what we've done is we've taken a lot of consideration in helping to guide that process while also leaving the employer in control of that decision making. So what we've done with Praisely in the gifts that we have in our inventory that our algorithm can select from is that we've put in gifts that are largely gender neutral, that are occasion appropriate. So for example, if you're sending a welcoming gift, it may not be as intricate as if you're sending something for a retention type of occasion or to recognize someone's birthday because you're just getting to know someone. You're just welcoming someone. It's like a first handshake to them. So occasion appropriate is very important. And what Praisely does is that it curates the gift based on the occasion, based on these items that we find are largely gender neutral, and it will serve you up a variety of choices. It will say, this is the gift that we put together for you, and then you can actually go through and vote on those items. It works kind of like when you are giving the thumbs up or thumbs down on Netflix based on a movie suggestion. So it will show you this curated gift with 2 to 4 products in it, that is curated to the employee's personal interests. And then based on that, you can go through and say, I like this product, don't like this one, I like this one, I don't like this one. And then when you go and refresh that, it will swap out any of the items that you said you didn't want to choose and replace them with brand new items that are still curated to the employee's interest. And so we did it that way to help guide people through the process, make it quicker, and make it so that you don't need to spend all of your time poring over a catalog, because what we find is that the biggest time suck in the gifting process is actually in the decision making, because you're so afraid to offend, and it's a very valid fear. And so that's why we want to offer so much assistance in walking people through that process.
So being the founder of an HR analytics dashboard company, I am consistently on a daily basis talking to HR and people ops leaders about becoming more data-driven, becoming more ROI-driven, and ultimately becoming more strategic with their workforce efforts. And when I hear this, I'm trying to figure out, you know, on behalf of all our listeners, how do they measure the ROI on this specifically? And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying that although you want as many things as possible to be quantifiable, there are still just some things that still need to be done, and you may not be able to measure the direct impact, but you know that it's helping the workforce and the culture. So on which side of the spectrum from you just need to do it and you believe it works versus it's very measurable does gifting fall, and how should you think about the ROI that you get from gifting?
So I think that it is extremely important to measure the impact. Everything that we want to do here is strategic. So the good thing about this is that there's the perfect baseline for trying personalized gifting at scale, because like I acknowledged earlier, there's no company out there that's been able to send many personalized gifts at once. So your baseline in all of your areas of measurement show what you're doing right now, whether you're sending out very generic gifts or you're just sending a few personalized gifts at once. That's your baseline in all of your different areas of measurement, whether you're measuring the sales that your sales force produces, or you're measuring your retention rate of employees, or you're measuring your acquisition rate of top-tier candidates. Those are all data points that you can measure. And then when you apply personalized gifting at scale to each of those categories, you can reassess those measurements and actually calculate exactly what your ROI is. And by making the personalized gifting your only variable, you can tie any change directly to that action that you took.
Got it. So now we're going to transition to my favorite part of the podcast, which I like to call the real, the random, and ridiculous. So are you ready for this?
I'm so ready. I love this
part. All right. So the real question, do you like bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
Okay. So I know you know this about me. I like not bread pudding, but I would say rice pudding, because I know why you're laughing. I am a celiac. And so that means I am one of the people who legitimately cannot have gluten. And so I cannot have anything with real bread in it, although I'm sure I would enjoy bread pudding if I could. But that's why rice pudding is a pretty good alternative.
Okay. You're the first person on the podcast that has a legitimate excuse for not eating bread pudding or liking it. So you definitely get a pass, because what else are you going to do? You can't eat it. So yeah. The random question, we're going to stick with the theme of gifting. What's the most random gift that anyone's ever given you? Work-related, birthday, Christmas, holidays, whenever.
That is such a good question. I wasn't expecting this one at all. I think the most interesting by far is when I was in college, I had a boyfriend whose family gave the most mundane, I guess you could call it, Christmas gifts. And they gave me a very generic drugstore toothbrush and tube of toothpaste.
That's amazing.
Extremely useful, but it was a head scratcher because it didn't feel like a gift.
That is hilarious.
It was, because, you know, it's your boyfriend's parents, and so you want to be courteous and you say thank you and you want to be polite. And then at the same time, you're thinking to yourself, did I miss something? But I ended up actually using them anyway, because, you know, I was in college. So it was great to have somebody provide toiletries.
There you go. They were just making sure that their son's girlfriend had great oral hygiene. They were looking They were looking out for you. You just didn't get it.
I'm sure that's exactly what they were thinking.
So this may be the same answer, but the next question, I was going to stick with gifting. I typically don't do that, but I think gifts are interesting. What's the most ridiculous gift that you've either given someone else or that someone has ever given you?
So the most ridiculous, I will try to think of a different example here.
Because that's random. The toothbrush is random. It's not ridiculous.
It is.
But it's not ridiculous.
So the most ridiculous gift I would say I've ever gotten is a live guinea pig.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
Ridiculous in that my family decided that I was younger again. I was, you know, in college. They decided that I wanted to take on the responsibility, which I ended up wanting to. But, you know, it was a surprise. They just kind of sprung it on me. Here's a guinea pig.
Wow. Well, thanks for playing this lightning round game with me. Really appreciate it. And thanks for all the nuggets of wisdom that you've dropped on our audience about gifting. I'm sure they all can't wait to figure out how they're going to better and increase the, you know, their gifting strategy and potentially want to reach out to you to see how they can do it. So thank you so much for being on the podcast, Farron.
Woo!
This was awesome.
Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Oh, great, great. So how can people find you and Praisely online?
Yeah, so we're very easy to find. They can search Praisely. It's Praisely, or they can go to our site. It's www.praise.ly. So those are two easy ways to find us and check us out. Our interface is really user-friendly, so people can actually just create their own free account, play around with it. I love to go in there, put my own email in there, and see what it says about my personality, what gifts it matches me up to. I think that's a curiosity that a lot of us have, and it's just really fun to do.
Nice. By the way, I'm always amused when I hear people say www dot. So thanks for
I was thinking through it as I said it, and I was like, I better say it in a way that's very articulate. You know, we're spelling over a podcast, want to make sure that it's easy to hear, but I agree with you, it does sound a bit odd.
No, thank you for the laugh. I appreciate it. So, Farron, thanks again for being on the podcast. And all of you listeners out there, if you enjoyed this episode or any other episode, please go to iTunes, leave a 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how much you love us. And if you don't love us, then don't leave a comment, because no one needs to know that. Just let's just keep it positive. No, seriously, constructive criticism, we like it. Any way you think that this can be better, please let us know. In regards to listening to us on a consistent basis, if you haven't downloaded our podcast player yet, on whatever podcast player you're using on your phone, then make sure you do that so you never miss another episode. And please, all of you HR and people leaders out there, continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks again. Later, kids.